Okay, so today we're basically going to discuss the parshas of Vayakol Pekudei, the final two parshios in Sefer Shmos. We'll finish them up a double parsha. This is the longest single Torah reading of the year when you put these two parshios together. So what I want to go through is the personage of Bezalel. Bezalel is the person who was put in charge of the actual construction of the Mishkan. At these last several weeks, we've been discussing the construction of the Mishkan. It takes place over, I think it's five total parshas where we have between the instructions and the actual construction. It takes place over the course of five parshas. So we're going to be doing a little flipping around as we go through various different parts of the psukim, and the focus this morning is on Bezalel. Bezalel was the foreman. Moshe appoints him based on Hashem's command to be in charge. So we'll take a look at the bigger picture and see what we have to learn with that. Let's start on page 444. Okay, in the beginning we're doing a lot of flipping, but just to get the sense. Page 444 is the beginning of Parshas Truma. This is really the beginning of the construction of the tabernacle. This is the very first place, right after the Parshas before this, are the giving of the Torah, a series of laws. The Jewish people are in the desert right now. They receive the Torah, they get a series of laws, and at this point, the command begins for the construction of the Mishkan. So what we're going to do is we're going to cheat, and we are going to utilize the Art Scrolls literal headers that they have on the left-hand side of the pages. I'm sure none of you have ever noticed before because you're so busy studying just the text. But I'm going to point out to you that on the left-hand side of the page, there are these little headers in which Art Scroll gives you a brief synopsis of exactly what's going on throughout the paragraph, just like there was when Moshe came down from Har Sinai and gave the Jewish people the Torah. There were little headers and highlighted topics that were there on the side. So what we're going to do is we're going to just go through, just to get a sense of the bigger picture as to what's going on and where we will introduce everything. So as you see on page 445 is the tabernacle, the resting place for God's presence. This is the beginning of the command in which Hashem says, Va'asu li mikdash, build for me a sanctuary, v'shachanti v'socham, and I will dwell in their midst. Here we have the actual command for the tabernacle, for the Mishkan. And now let's note the way that it's given over to us. What is the order that Hashem now speaks to Moshe as he commands us? Page 447. What's the first thing we're told to build? The ark. 449. We're going to be moving quickly here. Then we have the cover of the ark. Then we have the table. Then we have the menorah. What are these things? Are these the actual walls, the structure of the tabernacle, or the vessels inside of the tabernacle? The vessels. Clearly the first thing that we're commanded, again, this is the very first series of commands that we are given. Hashem says to Moshe, as it's recorded to us, you're going to build me a tabernacle. The list goes, first you'll build for me all of the vessels, the ark, the menorah, the table, all of those things. And then we begin to get into, in chapter 26, on page 453, the actual construction of the structure itself. The covers of the tabernacle. On page 455, we get to the walls of the tabernacle. On 457, there's nothing. Oh no. Well, if we read the text, we'll find out that there are actually planks, and that there are bars, and there are all sorts of other things going on as well. And then you get to the partition. So, concluding with the altar and the courtyard, which is the altar, even though it's one of the vessels, but because it's out there in the courtyard, I'm assuming that's why it's first placed over here. And that concludes Parshas Truma. So if we have to summarize Parshas Truma, what we basically get, if we could read the Torah this fast during Shabbos, you have the whole thing. First, Moshe is commanded to construct the vessels of the Mishkan, the menorah, the mizbeach, the aron, place which we house the Sefer Torah. Then he's told to construct the actual walls. So far, so good. Parshas Tetzaveh, we are really not even going to flip through because it all has to do with the clothing of the Kohen. This is a critical component of the Mishkan, that the Kohen had special clothing, special vestments that he would wear while serving in the Mishkan, but it doesn't really affect us as far as what we're doing today, so we'll just sort of, we could flip right all the way through that entire Parsha of Tetzaveh, which the entire Parsha, at the end we have the inauguration ritual, but that also is not relevant to us today, basically takes us through the end of Parshas Tetzaveh till Parshas Ki Sisa, which was last week's Parsha. page 484. So far, so good. We had the vessels, the structure of the Mishkan, and then the clothing of the Kohen, which we're not going to address right now. Parshas Kisisa begins with a census, and then some other specifics, the laver, and the anointment oil, and the incense. And now we're done. We're up to chapter 31, and we can get started. So on page 488, chapter 31, what we've now had is in, we could really study the different order. It's interesting. The summary of the order are the vessels, the structure, the clothing. But we have, as you see, other things, the incense and the laver, which were thrown in at the end. There's what to discuss, but at the end of the day, we've now gone to chapter 31, and we have finally concluded not the construction of these things, but the commandment to Moshe to construct them. So nothing has been built, but he is now armed with what needs to be done. That's where we're holding right now when we got to this past week's parasha, chapter 31. So far, so good. Did I lose anybody? Okay. Says the Chumash, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leim. Hashem now speaks to Moshe. Re'ei Karasi b'shem b'tzalel ben Uri ben Hur l'matzei Yehuda. Look, see, I have called by the name b'tzalel, who is the son of Uri, the son of Hur, from the tribe of Yehuda. So this is the first time we're being introduced to b'tzalel. So Moshe is first given the instructions to build everything before he's told who is actually going to carry them out. Now that he's been instructed in what needs to be done, Hashem says to him, you're not going to be the one yourself, Moshe, to actually do this. Look, he uses that word, we're going to get back to this word again, re'ei, take a look, I have actually appointed somebody else, Bitzalel is going to be the one to do this. Pasuk Gimel, Va'amole oso ruach Elokim, I have filled him with a godly spirit, a ruach Elokim, a spirit of Hashem. Bechochma uvisvuna uvidas, I have filled him with a spirit of wisdom, with insight, and with knowledge. Uvechol melacha, and with every craft. So he's a person who's been filled with the spirit of Hashem. He has three things: wisdom, insight, and knowledge. Chochma, tvuna, and das. We find a lot of times in liturgy different synonyms for types of wisdom. Rashi here actually comments: what's the difference between chochma, which is wisdom, tvuna, which is insight, and das, which is knowledge? So Rashi here comments on the bottom, top of page 490, the very first Rashi. Chochma, wisdom, is masha adam shoimeya me'acherim v'lamad. Wisdom is the ability to hear what somebody is teaching and learn it and understand it. I didn't know anything. Somebody taught me something. I got it. I now have the piece of information which I did not know on my own. Someone has taught it to me. I know it. That level of knowledge, the knowledge that you gain from others, book knowledge we'll call it, is called chachma. A person who has a lot of chachma has a lot of knowledge. He has learned many things. What's tvuna? Insight. So if you look at the actual shorish of this word in Hebrew, if you have to choose a three-letter shorish of the word tvuna, so you have the word bona in there. Drop the tav from the beginning, it's bona, bina. Bina, bona, all come from the root of the word to build. Says Rashi, Tvuna is mevin davar milibo mitoch dvarim shalomad. He's able to understand something on his own, in his heart, from that which he has been taught. My knowledge is my base, my chachma, I have knowledge. Somebody taught me something, I now know information. Tvuna, bina, is the ability to take that information, and I can now build from that. I can understand new things, new insights. I can apply the knowledge that I have to other circumstances and scenarios which were not exactly what I was taught. Person who has bina has a different level. A person can have a lot of chachma, no bina. You have a lot of chachma, whatever he was taught, he goes, he gets. And he has a lot of knowledge. But ask him something which he wasn't taught exactly, ask him to apply it to something else and forget it. That's not as strange. He knows a lot of things, but not that next level. Person can have a tremendous amount of tvuna, bina, which is the ability to take that which you have and understand it well, understand it inside and out, that I can now move it to the next level and apply to situations in which I wasn't taught. I can learn from that other things. So Bezalel has chachma, he then has tvuna, and he has das. Well, what's das? This, Rashi says, is Ruach HaKodesh. was interesting. Out in the last thing, I would have thought would have been the most common word for simple knowledge. But Rashi understands that in the hierarchy of the words produced to us, presented to us, of first chachma, knowledge, tvuna, insight, to be able to take that knowledge, das is then a whole nother level. That's divine inspiration. That's already something beyond that. That's Ruach HaKodesh. That's something more spiritual in nature, not just my knowledge or my ability to apply my knowledge. That's something even greater. Be that as it may, says Rashi, says the Chumash, excuse me, here's Bezalel. Look, see him. He's been filled with a godly spirit. He's filled with these three levels of knowledge, Chachma, Bina, and Da'as. And Bechol Malach, he's also trained now, filled with the knowledge of every craft. Lachashoiv machshavos pasuk dalet 4, in order to weave designs, lasos bazohav uva kesef uva nechoshes, to work with gold, silver, and copper, haroshes evan, to work with stone cutting, wood carving, to perform every craft. So we're given a description of Bezalel, which is an interesting description which combines some lofty spiritual intellectual concepts, godly spirit and wisdom and knowledge and divine inspiration, and very hands-on fine motor skills. He also knows every craft, and we get very specific. He knows wood carving, he knows stone cutting, he knows how to work with gold and with silver and with copper. This is the person, Bezalel, he is going to work with the Mishkan.
So we say Bezalel was the original
Chabad? I'm going to stand. Why do you say that?
Because of the acronyms that they just gave for
Chabad. Oh, Chachma, Das, and Bina. Yeah, that's where Chabad, that's where Chabad comes from. The acronyms of Chabad are Chachma, Bina, and Das. That's correct. He would be the original Chabad. That is correct. Yeah.
When I look at the graph of the Kabbalistic tree, I think that it's
Reversed. I can't. You see, in other words, I have a few. I don't have enough here to be 40 yet. So I don't know anything about the Kabbalistic tree. I don't know anything about it. You're beyond the pale. I can't. It's just beyond me. Okay, let's move on a little bit. So just to get a little bit more of the flavor of introducing our character here of Bezalel. Va'ani Vav, we're on page 490, Pasuk Vav 6, Va'ani hinei nosati ito eso haliyov ben achi samach lemate don. Says Hashem, I've added, he's not going to work alone, Bezalel. I have given him a haliyov ben achi samach. Someone from the tribe of Dan is going to be his second in command. A haliyov is going to work with him. And then he adds, uvelev kol chacham lev, and in the heart of all of the chacham levs, and all the heart of all of the wise-hearted, Nosati Chachma, I've given wisdom. To the heart of the wise-hearted, I have given wisdom. V'asu eis kol asher tzivisicha, that they should be able to do all that I have commanded you. Okay, now that's what to talk about. In the heart of the wise-hearted, I've given wisdom. If you have to be wise-hearted to get wisdom, how did you become wise-hearted in the first place? Because you only get wisdom if you already have wisdom. How does that work? So, I don't want to talk about this so much today, but the Reb Chaim Volozhin, one of the principal students of the Vilna Gaon, understood that to mean Reishis Chachma. We say in the morning, what's the Reishis Chachma? The beginnings of wisdom is Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem. And he quotes other sources that we view true wisdom, or a synonym to wisdom, is the level of fear of Hashem that a person has. How God-fearing is a person? So he understands, I suppose this could be a whole shmooze, but I'm not going to do it now, is that in order to get wisdom, you have to have wisdom. What type of wisdom did you have to qualify for the wisdom of being able to construct a Mishkan? That was your Yir Shamayim. If you have a level of fear of heaven, that's the type of wisdom necessary to qualify you to be filled by God with His wisdom to actually construct and work with the Mishkan. In the sense of, if two people come to you for a loan, a significant loan, a $50,000 loan, and one person is fairly wealthy, but they need the cash because they're starting some business and this is the easiest way to get them off the ground, the other person doesn't have any money, but he wants to start a business, who are you more inclined to give the loan to? Right? The wealthy person. We say, but he has money. Why are you giving more money to the person who has money? Give it to the person who needs the money. He says, well, if I was giving charity, then I would give tzedakah to the person who needs it more. But if I'm giving a loan, Then I give it to the person who already has money, because I'm much more certain that he will be the one to repay me. To the those who are strong, you give certain things because you're sure about it. Who is going to be bestowed with this gift of the wisdom of being able to build the Mishkan? Somebody who right now is empty of wisdom, or somebody who already has the trust and the ability to hold on to this wisdom? So in the lave of the Chochmei lave, into the heart of those who are already wise, wise with fear of Hashem, I will bestow upon them the wisdom necessary to construct my Mishkan. Those are the people who I entrust with this type of information to build it. Okay, end of that. Let's continue on our story. So we have here so far, again, quick summary. First, Moshe's command to build the vessels, then the structure, then the clothing. And now we're introduced to Bezalel. Bezalel, this person who's going to be filled with the Spirit of Hashem, with Chochmah, with Bina, with Das. And Bezalel is going to be given Aholiyav as his second in command. And the workers will be people who are filled with Chochmah Lev, people who are filled with the Spirit of Hashem, with this already knowledge. They will then be given the knowledge to complete the construction of the Mishkan. Okay, so far so good. Continuing on our quest of flipping pages, we then get to Shabbos. Many of the Mefarshim point out very frequently, several times through these five parshios, whenever we discuss the building of the Mishkan, it's followed with the command of Shabbos to teach the idea that Shabbos is so significant that it even takes precedence over the building of the Mishkan. Build the Mishkan, just not on my Shabbos. And then we get to the receiving of the Luchos is repeated here, the second of the first Luchos. We have the whole story of the golden calf, which we discussed at another time. That's not for us. But just keeping in structure mind of where we are, the way the Torah sets it out. So we have the command of the construction, the Bezalel is introduced, and then we have a break with the story of the Moshe coming down from the mountain. The Jewish people are dancing around the golden calf. He smashes it, he prays, he goes back up, he comes back down a second time, and sets up his tent outside. We learn the whole, all at the end of last week's parsha. Plenty what to talk about. But that brings us to this week's parsha, Parshas Vayakel, on page 516. How was that? Okay, ready? Now, Parshas Vayakel, Vayakel Moshe, it's called Adas B'nei, so Moshe gathers together all the Jewish people. He's now, Rashi points out to us, on the day following Yom Kippur. So we're now the day after he has come down from the mountain with the second set of Luchos. So in the way Rashi reads this whole thing, so we had the instructions. They were given to us, or actually this is more the way the Ramban reads it. This is a major discussion exactly what's the chronology. The way that it's presented to us in the Torah is that the instructions for the Mishkan were given to us. That is interrupted by Moshe coming down, breaking the Luchos, having to go back up to pray, coming back down, telling us his prayers were accepted, going back up again to get the second Luchos, coming back down, and now continuing the story of the actual construction. That's how it's told us. How it actually happened is a big dispute, but we'll leave that aside for today as well. He gathers the people and he teaches them about Shabbos. That's the first thing that he teaches them. And now we get to the actual contributions. Looking on your side, little notes there on page 517. Why do we need the contributions? Well, because we have all the instructions. Now it's time to gather all the materials and to get to work. So he says to all of the people in Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, Zeh adavar asher tzivah Hashem. This is what Hashem commanded me. Kru meitchem shumal Hashem. Gather up all the portions. Everyone whose heart motivates him. Now let's pay attention here. There's an important pasuk in pasuk hey in describing who's going to be making these contributions. Kol nediv libo yivieha es shumas Hashem. Anyone whose heart motivates him shall bring it. So he sends out word, if your heart motivates you to bring, you must bring. Basically meaning to say, what's more important in the construction of the Mishkan than the actual gold, silver, and copper that you're going to be bringing, Shem can build his Mishkan out of anything. What's more important than the actual materials that are brought are the intentions of those who are bringing them. If your heart motivates you to bring, you want to be part of this, you need to be part of this, then come forward and bring forth what you have to bring. If you just are throwing a coin at me, I don't need it. I want your nediv lev. I want your motivation of heart as far as the contributions to the Mishkan. And then we have a list of all the various materials which were then brought. The gold and the silver and the dyed skins and the tachash skins and the woods and the oils and all of those things. Okay, Pasuk Yud. I hope I'm not losing you as we're going through this like this, but you'll tell me afterwards if this worked or not.
You're fine.
So far, so good? Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have the call...
They understand.
We have the call for the materials. Who was invited to bring materials in Pasuk Hay in verse 5? Those who were motivated of heart were called to bring forth the materials. Now we have Pasuk Yud. V'chol chacham lev bachem. And every wise-hearted person, not the motivated heart, but the wise-hearted person, what should he do? Yavo'u v'ya'asu es kol asher tziva Hashem. Good. He's going to be a worker. So we have different people in the Jewish, amongst the Klal Yisrael. Those whose heart motivates them, you come, contribute your gold, your silver, your copper, your skins, your dyes, everything that we need. And then a separate call goes out for the wise-hearted. Who is this a reference for? That's a reference back to what we learned a couple of verses ago, in which Hashem says, Bezalel's the foreman, his number two guy is the Aholioth, and in the hearts of the wise-hearted people, I'm going to place wisdom. Well, if you're a wise-hearted, right, all wise-hearted people come forward. So the call goes out, and if you're a wise-hearted person, you step forward to do the work of the Mishkan. You are going to be a builder, not one who contributes gold or silver or copper or wool or whatever you contribute. You're now going to be a builder. That call goes out. And then we have the list of the things that they are going to construct. In verse 21, you see, let's start there. The entire assembly of the children of Israel left Moshe's presence. Why did they leave his presence? Because they had been gathered together and he gave them two instructions. What were the two instructions that he had given them? If you're motivated of heart, go to your tent and bring me back materials. And if you're of wise heart, come forward and
work.
So everybody leaves, they go to their tent to do their things, and now we have verse 21. Every man whose heart inspired him came, and everyone whose spirit motivated him brought the portion of Hashem for the work of the tent of the meeting. So who are these two people? Every man whose heart inspired him, and everyone whose spirit motivated him. These are the two people, except the wording is a little bit different. We have the people whose spirit motivated him is clearly going to be the people who... Not the wise, because what are they doing? Look carefully at what are the people whose spirit motivated the second phrase at verse 21? They're the one bringing it. That's right. So it's a little bit backward. They're the ones who are parallel to in verse 10. Excuse me, in verse 5, the one whose heart motivates him. So the word in Hebrew, the word nidiv libo, parallels heart motivates him. What we have here in 21 of asher nadva rucho. The word nadva, motivated, is the same. One place you use the word heart, one place you use the word spirit, but it's clearly referencing the same person who is motivated to bring and to donate. What about the first half of verse 21? Whose heart inspired him to come. Who is that a reference to? That's got to be a reference to the workers. Now, how do we define the workers in verse 5? Excuse me, in verse 10. Look carefully, verse 10. Who are the workers? The chacham lev, the wise-hearted person, right? Who actually comes forward? A wise-hearted person? What does the verse describe in verse 21? Yes. Does everyone see what I'm doing here? This is a little bit confusing. I'm trying to keep this straight, right? The people who are supposed to donate are motivated. One time their spirit was motivated, one time their heart was motivated, but they're motivated. And the Moshe calls for people who are motivated, and people who are motivated come forth and donate. When he called for workers, what did he call for?
Wise-hearted
people. Who comes forward?
Wise-hearted people.
No.
No?
What did it say in verse 21? Who comes forward?
Oh, whose heart.
Whose heart inspired him. Now, says the Ramban, it's clear that phrase is referencing the workers, because the second phrase in verse 21 references people who actually came and contributed. They're motivated. That's what they were looking for. Motivated people come and donate. Motivated people came and donated. There was a second call that went out for worker bees. The way the call went out for was, I'm looking for wise-hearted people. Who came forward? people whose heart inspired him. What happened to their wisdom? That's what we're looking for, wisdom. And the way the Torah describes them coming forward is actually for from people whose heart inspired them. Who do you think noticed this discrepancy? That's number one, but he doesn't in this particular... I'm sure he noticed it, but he doesn't comment on it. The Ramban comments on it. Listen to a comment from the Ramban. Oh. Okay, I'm all over the place. I need to find my place. So this is Lamed Hei Chaf Aleph. Says the Ramban. We're talking about the people, the worker bees, those who are coming to do the work. Why does the Torah describe them as a heart that was inspired? That wasn't what the call went out for. The call went out for wise people. So why does the Torah describe them as being inspired? There was not a single Jew amongst the Jewish people who had learned any of these crafts. Jewish people come out of the desert. Where are they coming from?
Egypt.
For Egypt. What were they doing in Egypt?
Yeah.
Slave labor. Who was doing stone, precious stone cutting, or wood carving, or weaving, or working with precious gold, silver, and copper? They're 2-3 months into the desert, and Moshe says, I'm looking for wise-hearted people to work with stones, and wood, and weaving, and fine skins, and gold, and silver. Everyone's sort of like, never even seen any of those materials, but what are you talking about? Who knows how to work with these things? Only she'imed b'hem yada, or who's trained. I've seen it. I don't have it. Aval matzav detivo sheyonda lasos kein. Says the Ramban, he found in his nature that he knew it. I just know how to do this. The yigba libo bedarkei Hashem. And he raised forth his heart. He inspired his heart in the ways of Hashem. Lavo lifnei Moshe, to stand before Moshe and say, Ani eseh kol asher Adoni dover. I will do what you ask. Never seen it. I don't know how. I've never practiced. I have no training. He whose heart inspired him answered the call for the wise men. They didn't have any wise men. They didn't have any formal training. But you know who stepped forward? The people who said, I don't know what exactly he's asking of me, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to be there. I'm going to find it within myself to figure this out. He stood before Moshe and said, Ani eseh kol asher Adoni dover. I will do that which Hashem, or my master, what Moshe asks of me to do. I'm ready to be here. And therefore the Torah describes who the people who came forth were, the people whose hearts inspired him. Not because they were wise-hearted, but because they felt it inside their heart. There was a task to be done. The Mishkan was going to be constructed. I will step forward and do that. Okay, that's gorgeous. Continuing on. We'll just pause for a second to let that seep in. Yes.
Now, not knowing the exact time span, but here we had all these people who put together a golden calf.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's something physical, that they had some kind of physical evidence or something that they're going to concoct, that they have something that they can worship. They need to see something. So now this is taken away, it's crushed, and that whole concept is now put to rest. And now all of a sudden God says, it looks like it's, you know, the sequence of this. Now God's going to give us something physical in which we can come where He's going to reside.
Correct.
And now we have this physical place. And just in some studies this week, it was also brought to light that we're not supposed to be worshiping under the sun. I mean, under the sky, just without any kind of a tabernacle, a place of worship, or someplace we're supposed to come to within the confines of something to worship. I'm looking to see if there's some correlation from the time that the calf was demolished. But the whole concept of worshiping something of a physical nature like that, constructing something where we come together within something, not being out in the open.
I don't know exactly. Rashi learns that as a result of the ego, we needed a place to focus our attention. Rashi understands that the progression, that Mishkan was a response to the Cheta ego.
Okay, and
as a physical place.
Tabernacle, once we pursue and move into Eretz Yisrael,
it becomes the Beis HaMikdash. Then we have a physical place of the Holy Temple itself.
So the tabernacle just gets lit.
It was many, many years until it actually transferred, but it was temporary, leading to the actual permanent structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Yes.
What does Ramban say about the other ones? So the ones who were motivated with generosity, also they were reversed. What about the second group? Does he talk about what happened to them? They continue to be.
I don't know. I mean, they're motivated both ways.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he commented on that.
They became equally.
Common. Yeah. Okay, let's do a little bit more. We're going on page 519. So where we're up to is Moshe puts out a call for all the materials. The people come forth. Both the worker bees come forth who are inspired of heart to do the work. Both the people who are motivated to contribute. And the Torah describes in verse 22 through verses 29 at the end of page 519, everybody came. The people came with the bracelets and the rings and the ornaments and the gold and the skin and the women's spun the hairs and all of those things. It describes exactly that everybody came forth. Now, in verse 30, this will be our last little section that we'll read inside. Well, I shouldn't say that because you never really know. Verse 30, Moshe now speaks to the Jewish people and he says, Re'u karo Hashem b'shem b'tzavol ben Uriven chorlamate Yehuda. Moshe now introduces to the Jewish people b'tzavol. In the same way that Hashem spoke to Moshe back in the beginning of our story, first gave him all the commandments of the vessels, then the structure, then the clothing, and then he said, and by the way, Bezalel is going to be your foreman. And he said to him, Re'eh, look, Bezalel is going to be your man. Moshe now says to the Jewish people, here is the deal, we're going to build it, I need all your contributions and I need your worker bees. The people come forward with their contributions, they offer their services, and now Moshe introduces to them, with the same words of Ru'u, speaking plurally to the people, look, Bezalel has been proclaimed by Hashem, Hashi has been filled, we have the same phrase now, Laman Aleph, Vayimolio so Ruach Elokim, he has been filled with a godly spirit, just like Hashem told Moshe he was going to do. Moshe now tells the Jewish people, it has happened. He's been filled with a godly spirit, b'chochma, b'tvuna, u'vidas, u'vachol nalacha. He knows all of these things, chochma, bina, and das. He knows how to work all the crafts, to weave, designs, gold, silver. He has the ability to teach, and he's been given a holy of benachi samach as his second in command to fulfill all of these things. And then the beginning of chapter 36, Va'asa Bezalel ve'oholio v'chol ish chochon lev asher nasan Hashem chochmo zvunu behema. Bezalel and his man v'oholio and all the wise-hearted men whom Hashem had endowed with wisdom, those are our worker bees, the wise-hearted men who have been endowed with wisdom, they come forth and they begin to do all of the labor. Okay, let's take a pause, let's do one more thing, we'll see if we have time to then do something even beyond that. The Ramban is very bothered by this language of Re'u and Re'eh. Every time Bezalel is introduced to us, both in the context of Hashem introducing him to Moshe, and then later when Moshe introduces him to the Jewish people, it's with that opening phrase of Re'eh, Re'u, look, Bezalel's your guy. I mean, look. It's an odd thing. Like, what do we need to look at him for? The main thing is just that Bezalel's being appointed. Why is this constant stress on the ability to look and to see him? So says the Ramban, Re'eh, when I say look, I'm clearly trying to emphasize something. I'm trying to point something out. I want you to notice something about this. Says the Ramban, what is that? That there were actually four miraculous aspects with Bezalel's ability to do this job. The Ramban is going to go through them. And he addresses some of what we already mentioned about the ability of the worker bees is going to parallel and cross over here as well. Says the Ramban, number one, Ki Yisrael v'Mitzrayim pruchim b'avodas chaymer u'levedim. The Jewish people in Egypt are busy with all types of difficult manual labor. Lo lomdu melechas kesef v'zav v'charoshes avanim tovas. Nobody learned how to work with gold or silver or precious stones, nor did they ever see anyone do them. So here is Bezalel, who's going to be the foreman over this entire process, never having seen or trained in any of these activities. So number one. Number two, says the Ramban, not only was he never trained, who Pella, the wondrous thing, Sheyimse Bam Adam Chacham Gadol, in all of these things. Even if you have somebody who did train in any of these materials, you normally find somebody who's a craftsman, somebody who works with gold, or with copper, or with the skins. But you're not going to find one person who's a master of all of the trades. Says the Ramban, number three, not only do we have a person who never saw or learned any of these things, not only do we have one individual who's mastered every trade, if a person who is trained in these types of materials, these fine skills, if you then force them to do back-breaking labor with their hands, working with mortar and bricks, what happens to their fine-skilled and fine-tuned abilities? You lose that. You have to, if a person who's working with those fine types of skills, need to be constantly keeping up with that. So you take such a person and make him do slave labor for 30 years, they're not going to have those skills anymore. Says the Ramban, so not only do I have a miraculous event that I have a person like Bezalel, who never saw nor was trained, has been busy with manual labor for the last 30 years of his life, and the truth is it's not totally accurate. The Gemara says he was only 13 at this time. So it would be, however, he was from the ages of 3 to 10 in Mitzrayim, he was doing back-breaking labor. So 30 isn't quite accurate according to the words of Chazal. But whatever it may be, with that type of labor, to still be able to be trained and an expert in all the different fields, then says the Ramban, and this is going to touch on that dualism that we pointed out earlier, when we're introduced to Bezalel, we have on the one hand this very lofty spiritual character, somebody filled with the godly spirits, who had not only wisdom and bina, but he had da'at, which Rashi said was a Ruach HaKodesh, this divine inspiration in him. And then the Pasuk said, and he knows how to work with gold and silver and how to weave designs. He's got like this fine skill plus this lofty character. Says the Ramban, Re'ei, look at this, because this is a wondrous thing. Not only are you seeing a person skilled and mastered in all of these trades, Ve'od shehu chacham gadol v'chachma v'tzvuno v'das, he has all of these knowledge, l'havin sod hamishkan. He also understood the secret of the tabernacle, the deep mystical meaning of the Mishkan, the Kol Kalev and all of its vessels. Loma Tziva, why Hashem commanded us to have a menorah? Why a table? Why an aron? Why a mizbeah? Why all these objects? The Elma Yirmoz, and what they're hinting at, what they're referencing, what the mystical meaning is. Because when you construct a menorah, you're not just going to work for the purpose of constructing a menorah. You look at your instructions, you build it, and you go home. You're constructing the menorah. You're constructing the mizbeach. You're constructing the aron, where the luchos are going. You needed to understand the meaning and significance of every step. So not only did Bezalel have the physical craftsmanship, but he understood the meaning behind all of these things. Therefore, Hashem says to Moshe, and then Moshe says to the Jewish people, Re'ei, look at this. This is not a normal thing that we have this person 2 months out of Egypt who has all of these qualities. Now, what do they need to see? What should they be noting when they see such a miraculous event? Says the Ramban, an amazing thing. V'yeda, I want you to know. Look, take notes. Ki hu moleos ruach elokim. It's clearly I, Hashem, who have filled Bezalel, who has filled Bezalel, with these qualities. He couldn't possibly on his own been born with the knowledge of what it means, the mystical meaning of the Mishkan, of how to actually construct it. How did he have all these skills? I gave it to him. Why? Ba'avur shiyah seha Mishkan, because I want the Mishkan to be constructed. Ki hayaratzon milafonav lasos hamishkan b'midbar, because I want it built here and now in the desert. Could have waited a couple of years, and at this point maybe could have gone straight to Eretz Yisrael. Now it's 40 years. Could have waited. I want it here and now in the desert. Ulechvodo, and for my honor and glory, says Hashem, I created him. I endowed Bezalel with all that he'll need to construct and to create and the knowledge of what it goes into it, because I want this now. And he references a pasuk from Yeshayahu, who says, Ramban, ki hu kore hadoros meirosh. He calls the generations from their beginning. Meaning, as he's going to go on to explain. B'terem atzrecho bo beten, another passage from Yirmiyahu, before you were formed in your mother's womb, yidaticha, I knew you. And before you came out from her rechem, from her womb, I sanctified you. There's a prophet, Hashem speaking to the prophet Yirmiyahu, you were already predestined to be this person. Before you were formed, before you were created, this is what your task was going to be. Says the Rabban, Bezalel was created for this purpose. The person who was going to leave the desert and be in the desert, he was the one who needed to construct the Mishkan. Look, I have miraculously created a person here. It is impossible to imagine such a person who would have this type of knowledge and this type of ability right out of Egypt, but that's what I wanted. I wanted it in the desert, so I put him in this generation now to fill him with all of these necessary tools to create the Mishkan where it is right now. Continues the Rabban on this idea. Quotes a Medrash. Hera oso sifro shal odom harishon. Medrash says that Hashem showed Moshe the Sefer of Adam HaRishon, the book of Adam. The Omer lo, and he said to Moshe, Ko echad hiskantiv me'oso shah. Every individual I prepared from that moment. When I created Adam, and in my mind wrote out the history books of who would be created from that point on, when. The Af Bezalel may also show his cantioso, and Bezalel also, from that moment, I had prepared him for this. Shenema re'e, look. So in this magic thing, like look in the book. Look, he was destined to be here and now, because he had a task to fulfill, and the task that he had to fulfill was unique to be able to construct the Mishkan, and to know what goes into that. So I created. I could point back to Adam HaRishon. Throughout all the generations of who would be created, when and where, because everybody's got their mission, their purpose, their in unique set of skills and talents and personality quirks, they need to be here now, right there. Look, Bezalel is right where he's supposed to be, because I have a Mishkan to build, and the Mishkan is supposed to be built here in the desert, and therefore from that moment, he was created, which is an enlightening and powerful thought. That there's a Sefer of Adam HaRishon, so to speak, a book. Each individual is destined for the time and place in history where they ended up, for the task and mission that they have, with the skills that they have, with the talents that they have, right here, right now. This is where you're supposed to be. This is when, in history, you need to be living to fulfill and accomplish that which you need to fulfill and to accomplish. Then the Ramban concludes his discussion of Bezalel, the Od Amru, Yaduah haya Bezalel letzaref osios shenivru bohem shamayim v'aretz. Gemara in Brachos says that Bezalel knew how to connect the letters through which the world was created. This is a reference to the Gemara in Brachos that says that the Hebrew alphabet is different than all the other languages of the world. This is the Lashon HaKodesh, the actual holy tongue, the words, the name that Hashem used to create the world. And the way that he did that was with itziruf haosios, with connecting the letters. You know, in the English word pen, so a P and an E and an N just happens to be by convenience that represents the word pen, but there's no real significance to those. We could have chosen any three letters. The Hebrew language is more like the periodic table in chemistry, that each letter represents a certain form. It is something. When you put together the two atoms of helium and an atom of oxygen, you get water. That's what it is. That's what happens when you put those two things that's a helium or hydrogen. That's what happens when you put those together. When you put a samach and a vav and a samach together, you get a horse. That's just what a sus is, a horse. It is. The power of the language, and we don't really have anything to really latch on to exactly what that means. It's really, we don't understand it. Bezalel understood that. Bezalel understood how to connect the letters. What? The DNA of the world are the Hebrew letters used to create, and he understood that, and through that was able to create, so to speak, to create this Mishkan. That was therefore why he says, Re'e, you need to look and see that which I've given through Bezalel. Okay. Still have a few minutes, but not enough to do the whole next piece. So I can do it very briefly, and we'll sort of leave that up for, I believe, about its full discussion. We are up to on page 520. The work begins on the bottom of page 520. Pay careful attention to, as they begin the work, the order that the work is done. The curtains, the cover, the planks, their components, the partitions, the screen. And then in chapter 37 we get to the ark, and the table, and the menorah, and the incense altar. Which one is built first, the structure or the vessels?
Looks like the vessels.
It's the structure, because first we have the curtains, and we have the planks, and the partitions in the screen, and then we get to the actual ark, table, and menorah. What was the order that Moshe first told us to in Parshas Truma? We had the exact opposite. First we have all of the vessels, the ark, the menorah, and the altar, and then we get the actual planks, partitions, screens, and construction of the actual structure. When it's actually produced, what is produced is the structure first. So Rashi and the Ramban, they all pick up on this. And the way that they introduce this is based in the beginning of Parshas Pekudei, the second of our two Parshas, right in the very beginning. The beginning of Parshas Pekudei is the reckoning, the accounting of all of the materials that were contributed. These are the reckonings of the tabernacle, which were reckoned at Moshe's bidding, and the labor of the Levium, and Bezalel, the son of Uri and Hur from the tribe of Yehuda, did everything that Hashem commanded Moshe. So Rashi and the Ramban are intrigued by that language, that Bezalel did everything that Hashem commanded Moshe. So it should have said that Bezalel did everything that Hashem commanded Moshe to command it to him, or that it should have said he did everything that Moshe commanded him. You're sort of like skipping a step. It says that Bezalel did everything that Hashem commanded Moshe. Bezalel wasn't there when Hashem commanded Moshe. Bezalel got the instructions from Moshe. Moshe was there when Hashem commanded him, and Moshe then gave it over to Bezalel. But the pasuk almost seems to imply as if Bezalel fulfilled that which Hashem commanded Moshe. So just briefly mentioning this, maybe another year we'll talk about this more at length. The pasuk says that Moshe told Bezalel to build all of the vessels first, as we were told in Parshas Truma, the Aron, the Mizbeach, the Menorah, and then to actually construct the Mishkan. Bezalel says to Moshe, that can't be right. Person who builds a home, first you build the structure, and then you fill the structure with the utensils of the structure. You don't build a bed and leave it out in the field and then build a house around the bed. You build your house, and when the house is constructed, you bring all the materials in. So therefore, Bezalel says to Moshe, we don't build the vessels first. First, we're going to build the structure, which is what the Torah records is actually what happened. And then, we will actually construct the vessels to fill the structure. To which Rashi quotes Moshe, says, ah, you're right, that is actually what Hashem had told me. First build the structure, then build the actual vessels. Bizarre conversation that the Medrash records, like all conversations, needs to be understood. Moshe first tells him to build the vessels and then the structure, and Bezalel says, and that doesn't make sense. First we should build the structure and then fill it with vessels. Moshe says, oh, you're right, you know what, I think about it. That is actually what Hashem said. First build the structure and then, you know, well, why did Moshe say it the other way around? So very briefly, a much longer discussion. Moshe was representative of not the world of action. He was in another spiritual plane. And when he looked at the Mishkan, what he saw was importance. What is the function of the Mishkan? The function of the Mishkan is the connection to Hashem through the service of the Mizbeach, the Menorah, the table, the Aron which housed the Torah. When he looked at it from his perspective, he saw the vessels, because the vessels really were the primary instrument through which we would connect. So in his world, he says to Bezalel, start from the top. Start from the most important thing. Get busy. Bezalel was in charge of the actual construction. He saw a different view and said, I agree with you that the fundamental connection will be through the vessels of the Mishkan. But when we practically roll up our sleeves and begin to live in this world, Moshe remembers coming down from Har Sinai where he didn't live in this world. He was living on a mountain without food and water and talking with the Ribono Shel Olam in a way that no one else ever will for 40. He comes down and he's thinking Menorah and Aron and Mizbeach. Bezalel says, yeah, but we need to do it a little bit differently. We're going to actually roll up our sleeves and build. We're going to start with this structure. and will allow for the space, context in which we will fill it with those vessels. And there's a lot to talk about those different perspectives in terms of how they're, but we'll leave it at that for now. In terms of Bezalel, first you need to create that space. You need to create the structure, and then you fill that with the holiness in recognition that Moshe is correct. The primary and more important aspects are the vessels. Those are the actual tools we will use to connect. The structure is just the place in which they are stored, the place in which it takes place. But when we build from the ground up. And we actually, it's as if like they're coming from, are you coming from heaven down to earth, or are you coming from earth moving up to heaven? Moshe says, coming downwards, you start with the vessels. That's what's important. Bezalel says, we're starting from down here, and we start with the actual structure. There's lots to talk about how that impacts us, but I'll leave that food for thought. You can think about that over the next year, and maybe next year we'll talk about that a little bit more. Have a wonderful day, a great week. Very good job.